Hello and God bless you. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Paul tells us here that we have a valuable treasure in our earthen vessels. Within us is this treasure that exudes the power of God. The power of God is supposed to manifest from us in spite of the fact that we are clay pots that are far from perfect. So just what is this treasure that Paul writes about? Peter called it the gift. In 1 Peter 4:10, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Peter also called the treasure the Spirit of glory. In 1 Peter 4:14, he said, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you." The treasure, the Spirit of glory and of God. John calls the treasure the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and the Spirit of truth, and the anointing. In 1 John 3:24, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us," the Spirit. John also calls this treasure the Comforter. In John 14:16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, and he may abide with you forever." This is Jesus talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. John 14:26, again, we see it's called a Comforter. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." John also calls this treasure the Spirit of truth in John 14:17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye shall know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." And John also calls the treasure the anointing in 1 John 2:27, "But the anointing," and that's the word charisma, "the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Luke writes about the Holy Spirit, which is sometimes translated Holy Ghost in the King James. Luke also calls the treasure within our earthen bodies the Spirit of the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4. In Acts 2:24, it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Luke also calls this treasure the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, in Acts 8, verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Paul explains the treasure in more detail throughout his epistles. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So we see the Spirit of the Lord and Spirit of God. And notice in Romans 8, verse 9, it's called the Spirit of Christ. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if ye so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You notice here in this verse, it's the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of Christ, all talking about that treasure that we have in our earthen vessels. Notice Romans 8:10. It says, If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The treasure that's in our earthen vessels. Notice in 1 Corinthians 15:45, it's called the quickening spirit. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, a life-giving spirit. Paul also calls this treasure the spirit of faith. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, we have this same spirit of faith. According to it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Paul also calls this treasure the spirit of wisdom and revelation in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now notice Galatians 4, 6. Where this treasure is called the Spirit of His Son. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, this treasure is called the Holy Spirit of promise, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In Philippians 1:19, it's called the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the treasure that's within our earthen vessel. Philippians 1:19, For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And in 2 Timothy 1:7, this treasure is called the spirit of love and of a sound mind. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, the spirit of grace. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. And in Colossians 1:27, I want you to notice it's called Christ in you, the hope of glory, the treasure that we have in this earthen vessel. Is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the treasure, the charisma or gift, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, all refer to the same thing. Colossians 1:27, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. All the power, wisdom, prudence, love, mercy, and the grace of God is wrapped up in one gift, Christ in you, the hope of glory. All, I say it again, all spiritual blessings are in the one and only grace gift, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is God's secret that was hidden from before the foundation of the earth, that was first revealed to Paul. Paul calls it the mystery. Look in Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Colossians 1, verse 26 and 27. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This mystery of Christ in you was and is such a dramatic victory that the Bible tells us that Satan would not have crucified Jesus if he would have known about Christ in us. The treasure, the gift of grace, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Charis equals gift. Charis, grace gift, far more than a good feeling. When you read in the scripture of receiving the grace of God, it is saying much more than we have been taught. The theological definition of grace is unmerited favor, but that is merely a human definition. In God's wonderful grace that was shed upon us is far more than some sticky feeling or passing merciful moment between fits of wrath. When God extended his grace to us, it came as a package far beyond our comprehension. Grace is the very nature of God. His plan was to extend the grace gift to us from before we were born. God's grace gift is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The raging debate and postulation about which and how many of the manifestations of Holy Spirit are available to a born-again person becomes a silly question when you realize you have Christ in you. How many spiritual blessings, wisdoms, manifestation does Christ have? Well, all of them. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The whole goal of the believer's life is to allow Christ to live through us. Our prideful postulation about our power and our manifestation are works of the flesh and devilish. The weekly charade of false prophets and made-up prophecies are just a flim-flam show designed to appear holy. If you recall, Moses put on the veil to hide the fact that the brightness of the glory was fading from his face. The manifestation of Holy Spirit is not about a stage show on Sunday morning, but is about allowing Christ to manifest in and through us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. All of the abusive, controlling structure within religious organizations are exposed to be based on human pride and devilish influence. How can any one believer claim to have a better anointing and more authority than another when both have Christ in them? Jesus said, "There is but one Master, and the rest of us are brethren." The Greek word for the grace gift is charisma. Grace, the grace gift, Christ in you, this treasure in earthen vessels. The Bible says that grace is free. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can only receive it. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained we should walk in them. The grace gift, it's free, and it's equal. Grace is equal. God is no respecter of persons. There is neither Jew nor Greek, or male or female, in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew or Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if it be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Grace is free, grace is equal, and grace is powerful. The new birth, new life, new power, and a new purpose. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The new birth, new life, new power. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. 2 Corinthians 5:18. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God's grace is free, it is equal, and it is power. We have God's grace gift within us, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.